gift that kept on giving. The Bengals had a bye week, my one peaceful time of the year, it feels like. I am happy. I didn't watch the Bengals play catastrophically. Nice release. I'm going to start off where I finished last week, which was I said that the Packers-Eagles line was a free game. And I gave Alex the opportunity to just, you know, have a free win. I said, here you go. Take your free win, buddy. And Alex said no. He said, I don't like free wins. Alex is against free stuff. So today I am going to test just how deep Alex's hate runs. And we are going to have Alex play the Eagles or this team. I have five teams presented. I don't think we're going to get past two or three. But we will see how much of an Eagles hater Alex really is. So, Alex, how do you feel being wrong about the Eagles yet again?
It's just the Packers, man. The Packers. It's just I'm not even going to dignify this with giving any props to the Eagles. Because again, I don't know how you give props to a team that did what? Best for... let me just double check my numbers here just to make sure I'm not seeing things. For a team that passed for 183 yards and scored 3 points. I don't know what you can expect me to give credit for there. With a wide receiver that is highly disgruntled. Talking about his Madden stats, because that's the only thing that he can get some solace in at this point. He is trashing the team, saying that everything is not okay. Everything is a shit show in Philadelphia. How he's basically saying that if people have eyes, they know why he's mad at the team and why he's mad at the situation, that things can't continue this way. Like, he's being very open about all of this. But now everyone seems to think it's okay. Like, 10-7, they're obviously the best team in the league. They're obviously going to repeat with the title. Hey, props to you, Angela. I just wish that at any point in my life I could be as optimistic about something as you and some Eagles fans seem to be about this team. Because all I'm seeing is 2023-2024 Eagles again. It's just, team went to the Super Bowl, just the year after, get eliminated in the first round playoff. That's just what's loading. So, hey. But sure, you can say that I'm wrong because I didn't pick the right side in that one. Hey, I expected the Packers. I expected the Packers to show the good side of the Packers, but they are very flip-floppy. Like, when you expect them to be good, they look bad. When you expect them to look bad, they look good. It seems like it changes every other week or so. So they have two bad weeks, one good week, or one bad week, one good week. It just changes. I think this might be the week in which they are good, but I'm not sure. So I think I'll start second-guessing my Packers picks. But outside of that, hey, props to you. I hope I get the Eagles in the playoffs. That's all I can say. Because if there's one team that is actually good, it's playing in the NFC West. And it's the Seattle Seahawks, buddy. Number one power-ranked team by NFL.com.
Yeah, maybe NFL.com needs to take a chance.
No. No. There was a point in time in which NFL.com meant something here. Especially to you. You've quoted them, so I would expect the same sort of courtesy with my team right now, and I would expect you to just embrace your new overlords, the Seahawks, as the best team that has ever graced an NFL field, with GQ Buzz, Sam Darnold, leading the way, and with the best wide receiver in the NFL currently, Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Jaxon Smith is playing out of his mind.
He is playing like the best wide receiver in the NFL.
He is playing like he was advertised. It just took him a few years, you know. So here's the thing, though, because when, you know, good old Jaxon Smith-Njigba wasn't performing as well. Granted, he had harder competition from players like DK Metcalf and a younger Tyler Lockett. It was with Geno Smith. So, like, are you ready to say that Derek Carr was always a better quarterback than Geno Smith, buddy?
I would put it more on coaching than anything else.
Oh, my God.
I think it's a major upgrade. It's a major upgrade to go from where we were with guys like whoever the fuck last year's offensive coordinator was, like Ryan Grubb or some shit, and former Bears head coach. What's his name? It's not Eberflus. It's the guy that really sucked at being our OC, and then he went to be their OC, and then he went to be on to be their head coach for, like, interim head coach with Caleb last year. It was... What's the name? It's right at the tip of my mouth. Not Eberflus.
Are you talking about Amos Brown?
No. That was the run game coordinator, I believe, that went on to be the head coach. It was the... Well, I can't find it right now, so that's fine. Seahawks, OC, the guy that I hated the most at this point. Offensive coordinator history. Here you go. It'd be easier this way. Ryan Grubb, Shane Waldron. The fucker Shane Waldron.
Shane Waldron.
It's almost as if going from those guys to Clint Kubiak is an actual improvement that you can see all over the offense. Plus, we can outblock. Things are looking very good for me. So I can't wait to get the sorry-ass Philadelphia Eagles in the Lincoln.
The sorry-ass Philadelphia Eagles in the link. Huh. Be careful what you ask for, Alex. You just might get it. And then you're going to be eliminated, and then you're going to be sad. And
no, we'll go there, and we'll beat their ass, if that's okay. And that's if they don't have to go through Lumen Field, because that can also happen. I'm feeling good. Feeling good about
they
this.
They currently are the number one seed, buddy. So,
hey, I'm feeling good about this. I feel like I will be vindicated in the end when the playoffs start. They will keep pulling off this crappy-ass wins. I'll keep doubting them, and things will just move along. And in the end, I'll be right. So that's all that matters, really. Just like I was right about a few things this past week. You brought this Philadelphia Eagles game and how I called it a trap game, and you said it was free money. I remember another game in which you said that you would take the team all the way up to 20, maybe 27, maybe 35. You would take the team all the way up to the 100s. Yeah, they couldn't even cover 9. Imagine 30 or 40. They couldn't even win the game, Angelo. What happened to your Buffalo Bills?
It just was a bad performance, apparently. You were right on the narrative. They came off a high. They couldn't get very good separation against the Dolphins' DBs, which is something I didn't think I'd be saying, because they trade away most of their good secondary. And, yeah.
To a got destroyed.
Yeah.
They were all over him. Nope. Nothing was working, really. It's weird because, like, Josh Allen still had a good game. Like, around 300 yards. 2 touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken. He did fumble it once, if I'm not mistaken. Then an interception on top of it. You also had James Cook with another fumble. The Miami Dolphins front seven was all over their backfield. So that was interesting. That was the sort of performance that we were expecting from their front seven from the start of the season. We never really got it until the very end, almost. But this team seems to be playing for Coach McDaniels. Like, McDaniels maybe is not such a open and shut case that he is leaving town, because the players are playing for him. And apparently, as long as he has a locker room, he will have a job. And it's weird that you see this, especially when there were the comments with Tua, just kind of ripping them a new one about ownership and about how the leadership of the team needed to change because players were missing the meetings and all of that. But McDaniel sort of has turned this around and has made something with it. And he's now the team is now playing for him. So that's kind of interesting. After that Browns game, I think sort of all of us thought it would be the end of it. Because they lost that 131-6, was never even close. Then they bounced back with a win with the Falcons. But then they get completely beat up by the Ravens. So things have been very up and down for them. But right now, things look to be sort of on the up and up. Wouldn't be shocked if he stays another season.
That would be a tragedy.
Hey, but at this point, if things start to pick up and he starts to work things out.
That would be Cincinnati Bengals level of incompetency. I don't think the Dolphins are there yet. They still got some disappointment to get through.
Speaking of, well, we talked about the Dolphins, the Bills. Now you bring up the Bengals. I don't know if we talked about this. I don't think so. But another team in the AFC East, the New York Jets, they won. They're on a two-game winning streak. This time, Justin Fields actually passed the football. 54 yards this time around, so that's fun.
32 of
Garrett Wilson on IR. Breece Hall managed to run the ball a bit. They managed to get, if I'm not mistaken, it was a kickoff return touchdown and a punt return touchdown. So that's the only way they get points on the board. And they managed to get the win. There's been some rumors, and Jets Reddit is very excited. What?
Didn't Stefanski get fired?
No, Stefanski didn't get fired.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Was I just dreaming?
Only one coach has been fired. Yes, you're dreaming. But there's been a lot of buzz about a particular event that could happen. I don't know where this picked off. I don't think we talked about it last week. But I think it started to gain some steam between your guys' last loss, the Bengals' last loss. And right around the time we started recording our show last week. And it's the possibility that the Bengals could trade Joe Burrow during the upcoming offseason. And a team that has... Did we talk about it?
Yes, we talked about stupid Shady McCoy.
Oh, we might have talked about it. But the thing is, after Shady said that, there started to appear a few, not really rumors or anything like that, but the theory started to gain some shape, started to appear on ESPN, for example, and things like that, of would the Bengals entertain an offer of like 4 first round picks for Joe Burrow. And the only thing with only team with a capital like that would be like the New York Jets. So now Jets Reddit is very excited about their future QB Joe Burrow joining them next year. To the point where I'm seeing this some Jets fans. Yeah, to the point that I'm seeing some Jets fans clamoring that you guys shouldn't start Joe Burrow this year so you don't hurt him for them next year. Any delusion. Comments?
This is you don't respond to delusion. This is delusion. Next point. Next question.
Some of them are even envisioning a future in which maybe they tack on their next first round pick, so 5 first round picks in total, and they tack on Garrett Wilson, and they get the duo of Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase. Any comments on that? 5 first round picks in Garrett Wilson. Are you sure you don't want to see 50-year-old Joe Flacco again next year being your starting QB, throwing to Garrett Wilson and T. Higgins, and having like 5 first round picks?
I'm sure. The Bengals would probably screw up 4 of them.
So you're saying it doesn't matter how many first round picks? Because I think it doesn't.
Have you watched our drafts?
I think part of the reason why Jets fans are clamoring for this right now is the fact that they also think they will blunder their first round picks. So they are trying to put them on someone just to make sure things go south for them when they're using those picks. I think it could be that.
Trauma.
Like, you guys are kind of bounded by trauma.
I'd ask who hurt you, Jets fans, but the list is very long.
Well, it might have just been the same amount of guys that hurt you guys.
That list is Bengals also very fans. Long.
Well, apart
people like TJ fucking Yates.
Oh, buddy. Well, I think it's funny that I'm now seeing so many Jets fans clamoring that their future is coming up very soon. Because now they have five first-round picks in the next 2 years. They will have a super young roster. They will have a good QB. They can blunder a QB if need be. But they can wait for any QB that they want. They can do everything that they want. Their future is going to be up soon. The Bills window is closing soon.
I mean, to be fair, they are right in a sense. Like, is there a package they couldn't afford if a quarterback you really liked was available with the number one pick? Because I'm not sure there is.
Probably not. Just depends how willing you are to go overboard, because you also have to factor in the fact that they have the five first-round picks, but everyone knows that they have those five first-round picks. So they will probably demand more than they would from a team without those set first-round
picks. Are you saying the Alex tax is coming?
Yeah, maybe. An Alex tax, but it's the reverse one. It's the you're been so shit. Don't waste all of the picks. Give me some of them since you have so many.
You know who hasn't experienced that despite, you know, being experienced in acquiring multiple draft picks in future drafts?
Who?
Me.
Yeah, because you're kind of like in the in-between. You are not delusional like Jets fans, outside of your grand delusions in terms of fantasy of beating me. Like, for fuck's sakes, the team name is Future Alex Killer. So I think that needs to be studied.
You're gonna be really sad soon.
I've been hearing that for 8 years now. You're starting to sound like Jets fans at this point. So I think something needs to change.
I got something
there
to look forward to on my fans.
Oh, buddy. You've been seeing that for like 5 years now. I'm still waiting for what's coming up soon, because the soon doesn't seem to be soon enough.
Did I or did I not, Alex, draft the number one wide receiver and the number one tight end in this last draft?
Yes, the number one tight end has since dropped off a bit, cooled down a bit, and the number one wide receiver that after you praised so much got hurt. Not to mention that when you got last year's number one wide receiver that you praised so much, he blew his ACL this year. I think there's a lesson to be learned there.
We've had a rough year, it's okay.
That's an understatement. Rough decade would maybe describe it better. That's like saying Jets fans have had a couple rough years. Yeah. Couple decades, maybe. So, hey. At least they're hopeful for something. You're hopeful for something in the future. I'll tell you a team that isn't hopeful for anything. Right now, the future, in 10 years, in 20 years, 50 years, it's the Jags.
The Jags.
The fraudulent Jags, you know, Angela, the team that you once said was better than the Seattle Seahawks. And I sat here and I said, they're the biggest fraud there is in this league. And they have just done something that when I said to you in our group chat that we somehow lost our pick on the Jags, your answer was very candid about them. It was, excuse me, they were up 17-0. And we lost Jets plus 1.5. That's the sort of teams you defend, Angelo. It's the Eagles, It's the Jags. It's all of this. It's all of this. You defend this pettiness. You defend this low-life sort of team. It's a team that was winning 17-0. A team that at one point was leading 29-10 going into the quarter. It's a team that until their last drive in the fourth quarter, they had 2 yards in the entirety of the quarter. That had passed like around 14 minutes and 30 seconds or 14 minutes flat. They had 2 yards. They allowed the Texans to score 26 unanswered points go in the fourth quarter alone. Not only all of this, to Davis Mills, of course. How could I forget? Davis Mills did all of this. Not even sorry-ass CJ Stroud. They lost to backup QB David Mills doing this. And yeah, not only did they did all of this, they lost this game. Jags fans are finally starting to realize that Trevor Lawrence is no good, will never be good, nothing will ever matter for him. It's a disgrace of a team, disgrace of a QB, worst contract in the league maybe at this point in terms of how much money you gave this guy. And he is as fraudulent as they come. The excuses have finally run out, I think. I think that's all like that we have blamed. We started by blaming Urban Meyer, then it was Doug Peterson, then it was the lack of receivers, then it was the lack of offensive line, then it was the lack of defense, then it was the lack of running game, it was the lack of more weapons. Last year he had Brian Thomas Jr., and then he needed more weapons. This year the weapons suck, the weapons that were good at one point with Mac Jones now suck with Trevor Lawrence, everything suck. And I think the excuses have run out. I think the only thing that sucks here, it's Trevor Lawrence. He couldn't get anything going.
The only thing that sucks here is Trevor Lawrence.
I think it's just time to admit it. It's like, if you take out the beautiful hair, if you take out generational tag, you get, I don't know, you get Jameis Winston, a worse Jameis Winston. You get Marcus Mariota.
A worse Jameis Winston.
I think you get Marcus Mariota.
Marcus Mariota.
I think the only reason we don't address Trevor Lawrence as one of the biggest busts in the NFL is that he managed to play the Chargers in that playoff game. If the Chargers didn't exist, he would be in contention with guys like Jamarcus Russell.
You think so?
Yeah, maybe I'm exaggerating it a little bit, but he would be in contention to one of the. It's not necessarily bust per se, because he is not absolutely terrible. Like you could see things in there that he is a bottom level QB. But for the hype that he had, like, you were hearing about this guy in high school. He was the next big thing. He was the next Andrew Luck. All of those things added up. And the end product, it's so disappointing at this. He is terrible. He is not a franchise-level QB. He is a guy that you take a shot at in 1 year, and you just run him for a season. It's kind of the QB that the Jets need for next year. It's like the bridge QB that you run 1 year. He won't win you all that many games. At best, you'll be a 500
team. Do you think he'll be a New York Jet next year?
I don't, because I think there's maybe best fits for that. I could see like Kyler Murray being a fit for that. I could see Geno Smith being a fit for that because they're cheaper in general. Contracts are also smaller in terms of years, so they have more flexibility going in the future. But he is that sort of QB. He's nothing better than those guys. Like, if he didn't have that playoff win versus the most cursed team that we've ever known, the Los Angeles Chargers, he would be treated as a massive bust. I still think he's a massive bust.
You think Lawrence is a massive bust?
Easy not. What's the argument for him not being a massive bust? As he lived to even half of what we expected of him. Okay, it's the Chargers. As I said, take that one out. What's the argument?
He had a good half season.
Perfect. Next big thing at QB, had a good half season.
Well,
so I think that proves my point at this point. I think it's kind of done. I don't think it's good. I don't think the team thinks it's good. I don't see it going forward.
Do you think the Jags will give up on Trevor Lawrence? And how soon?
I think they should. How soon? Let me look at his contract. Because it depends on that.
Of course.
Let me check their contract right now. So Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence's contract. So they have. They don't really have an out anytime soon, so that might be the issue. Yeah, you can't really cut him anytime soon.
Cut him anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to work out for them all that well. If you cut him next year, you're basically down $100 million in cap space.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
That's basically
maybe the year after. Yeah. The Broncos did something, though, with Russell Wilson that was similar to this.
They ripped the band-aid off.
Yeah. It's not totally out of the equation. But you would be nearly... Unless you can trade him. So I think the silver lining is that if you can find someone crazy enough to take him, maybe you have something here. Because if you trade them, you incur in $26 million penalty. So basically, his cap space was around $15 million or so. His cap hit would be around $24 million next year. If you cut him, you're basically down 50. So it's an extra 26 on top of that. That's where the number comes from. That's the only thing that maybe makes sense here. But I think they might write it out for another season. They're still believing or trying that they have something with this guy. But I don't see it, man. I think this one is over for them. I think it's time to pull the plug. If you can't win the division consistently in maybe the worst division in football, what are you even doing at this point?
Question, what are they doing at this point?
I don't know. Like, you see the Colts, they grabbed the guy that no one really wanted at QB, and they're leading the division by a mile, which kind of shows that even average QB play will get you very far in this division. None of these teams have it. Like, the Texans don't have it. Jags don't have it. I'm not even going to talk about the rest. The Colts have it, but that's about it.
Man, and you don't want to throw Cam Warden in the bus either. Just okay.
I think the Titans are not an actual football team. I have this theory of mine that they're not an actual football team. That they're like that cartoonishly bad sort of team that like everything they can do bad for the laughs, they will do. So I'm not convinced they're a football team yet. Like, so any team... That,
I have a new worker, and one of... It was like her third day she was working with me. She came in with a Tennessee Titans hoodie, and I asked her, I was like, are you a Titans fan? And she looked down at the logo and said, oh, I don't even know who these are. This is my boyfriend's sweater. I was like, damn... Her boyfriend gave his Titan sweater away.
boyfriend is done with the team. It's a juvie team at this point. I don't think you can consider an NFL team if you are hiring Mike McCoy, like, in 2025. You are not a serious franchise if you're doing that. Let's put that very clearly. And since they are doing that, I think you kind of have to accept that things aren't going to go your way and that you're not an actual team. Unless, now we're only playing with 31 teams in the NFL.
So anyway, time to test your Eagles hate. We are playing
Eagles. Are we going there already?
We are going.
Wait. Before we do that, since that's the last game.
Oh, okay.
How about my Seahawks?
We're going to skip
over
the Seahawks. No,
seriously. Did you see that last thing?
They're playing.
They're 21 points.
I'm trying to skip over the Seahawks. Alex said, no, none of it. We're going to talk about Seahawks.
Yeah, you have to admit that are they the best team in the NFL?
No, they're not. It's the Philadelphia Eagles. But
we'll ask you again next week when we beat the Rams.
We'll see about that.
You have to admit to it very soon. This defense is playing out of their mind. Even when we have worse periods, when we're not playing as great, the defense steps up, and we can make do with the offense when the offense has a slump. Because basically we got up, 38-7, and then the offense was up and down, didn't really move the ball all that much. But the defense is just so stout. The cornerbacks are very physical, and I expect them to continue this way. I'm just at this team, every single play that I see from them, I'm just at awe. If this is what it feels like to be a fan of a team that is actually good, I haven't experienced this in so long. Even when we were good, the best.
Two Super Bowls.
I didn't see the first one because I started watching the NFL the year after we won the Super Bowl. So my first Super Bowl experience was losing it to Malcolm Butler. Not great. But then we had times in which we were good. Even in that Super Bowl when we were good, the defense was excellent. The offense played, but there were still a lot of factors of luck in there. If you remember the Hail Mary 2-point conversion from Russell Wilson, the plays in that same Green Bay Packers game that we basically pulled out of our ass when Russ was playing amazing. All of those things helped contribute to where we got, but it never felt as dominant as we are right now. Right now, we're steamboating some of these teams. We're looking dominant from the go versus the Texans. We look dominant from the get-go versus the Cardinals. We completely destroyed them right from the get-go. This is the usual game in which we would struggle and we would need to pull something out of our ass to win. But no, this team is just steamrolling it right now. They are amazing. Loving every minute of it.
Till it all just collapses in on you. The pressure starts to get to good old Sam, and he turns into
pressure.
He turns into a pumpkin again, you know.
There's no pressure. The defensive line is amazing. For the first time ever, I can say that defensive line is amazing.
Oh, buddy.
So, hey, everything is perfect at this point. It can go better for me. I'm loving life. I'm loving every bit of it. Go on. We keep rolling. Other than that, we still discuss Brian.
Oh, we did not. You are.
The Giants.
You just want to finish. Game. You just want to finish confirming your Eagles hate. All right.
Yes, Brian Daboll. It needs to be for the very end. Okay. Brian Daboll, he got fired, and he got fired with an amazing set by the Giants. The Giants are 0-4 the season. You sort of expect the Giants are not a great team. They are currently sitting at 2-8. But they're 0-4 this season in games in which they have led by 10 or more points on the road. So whenever they're 10 or more, whenever they're up 10 or more points, you just know it's coming. A wreckage is coming. And they're going to lose it some way, somehow. And I was watching this game, and I was thinking, come on, guys, don't be up by 10 or more. Please, for the love of God, don't be up by 10 or more, because I need you guys to cover a, what, 2.5-point line? I believe that's what we got. I don't know if it was 2.5 or 3.5. It was 3.5. I need you guys to cover 3.5 line. So just don't lose it. And they, sure enough, they got up by 10, and Caleb Williams somehow pulled yet another comeback, because that's just the thing that he does. He sucks for like 2 quarters, and then he's amazing for 1.5 quarters, basically. That's the Caleb Williams experience. And yeah, and they somehow lost this game by 4 points, which meant that I lost my pick right there. I didn't feel good, and it's over for Brian Daboll. He had been riding that Jackson Dart high for quite a bit. Guy was pulling Jackson Dart out of the concussion protocol just so he could save his job. He couldn't this time around. Jackson Dart got hurt yet again in the concussion protocol. And this time, Daboll couldn't force him out of it. So we got Russell Wilson to finish the game. And things went just as we expected it to, just as we expected them to go. He could really move the ball, and they just lost that game miserably. So Brian Daboll, one less hurrah for the guy. Do you think anyone hires him immediately as an OC?
Immediately? Probably not.
Yeah. Because like Mike McDaniels, I think it's a guy that you look at, and it's like, if this guy gets fired, he's going to be an OC maybe next week. Brian Daboll, he had some of that appeal when he left Buffalo, because don't forget, Brian Daboll was the guy that made Josh Allen into what we see right now, or at least he gets the credit for it. So I'm kind of wondering, is there a chance that if he gets fired, he immediately gets hired? Since he got fired, does he get hired for the Bills next year? Like, let's say the offense still doesn't click fully going into the playoffs, lose yet again in the playoffs. Is Brian Daboll the guy that goes in there and plays known face in Buffalo and just becomes your OC next year?
Brian Daboll needs a break, buddy. We need to
let him. Does he need a break, or do we need a break from him?
Maybe a little bit of both. I think the best isn't like, is Brian Daboll going to get another job? Because let's be honest, the NFL coaching is just a revolving door of a lot of similar coaches. It's about who you know. My more interesting question is, do you believe that the personnel in the New York Giants, meaning the players themselves, is the core that can lead the Giants back to relevancy? Do you believe in Cam Scataboo? Do you believe in Jackson Dart? Obviously, we both believe in Malik Nabers.
Well, do I believe them? Sure. Do I believe they are smart enough to not get injured and to be able to stay healthy for an entire season? I don't know. Those kids are like loose cannons at this point. They look like 5-year-olds that just can't stop moving, that are just constantly doing shit around the house. So I don't know if I trust them to stay healthy, but if they do stay healthy, I think it will go okay for the Giants in the upcoming future. But I think it's something that we need to see how it develops. Let's say Jackson Dart comes back from the concussion, not this week, and he immediately back to his, and it's just like, at this point, what can we do to the kid? The kid is like a loose cannon. He's just like, you shouldn't do this, kid. You're going to get hurt. And he's like, okay, I won't do it. And he just runs straight into a wall next. And it's just like, what the fuck are you doing, kid? So if they grow a brain or something, I think this will be a good young core for the New York Giants. Yeah. That's a big if, though. Because one of the kids likes to ram into walls before games.
As one does.
That doesn't bode too well for your safety in the upcoming years. But dang. So yeah.
You know?
That's what it for the Giants. I don't know who they should hire. One name that is making the rounds is Bill Belichick.
Oh, don't do that.
Bill back in the NFL with the Giants would be something, though.
Don't do that. That's a bad idea.
If he comes back, there's two names. One is the Giants. That has gained a lot of steam. But there's a team that I think Bill might like to go to. Can you imagine Bill with the New York Jets? Because he hates the Jets to the core. But I think he might hate the Patriots just a little bit more by what they've done to him.
So you just don't want this guy to be happy?
Why would I mean, he's never happy. He isn't happy at North Carolina. Like, if he's not happy there, well, at least don't deal with recruiting 18-year-olds. I don't envision him to have the state of mind to do that. I don't envision him liking all that much, although, like, he looks like he had just recruited his girlfriend out of high school. Outside of that, I don't think he loves that part of the job. That doesn't seem very Bill Belichick-y. But I think he would love sticking it up to the Patriots, and he would love just be back in the NFL. And, like, with that, I think the Giants would make a lot of sense in a more realistic way.
Just look, what is with you and wanting, like, just let it go?
Okay. To burn, baby.
Apparently you do. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Imagine it would be so fun. Give me Bill Belichick on the Jets. Give me Joe Burrow on the Jets. Can you imagine all of that? Okay.
Bill Belichick now, I think, coaching modern Tom Brady.
Okay. I think now we can go to the godforsaken Eagles game.
The Eagles!
Hey, Eagles. So fun.
Okay, I'm going to want so you. Fun. You're going to have to put on your Philadelphia Eagles.
Can we first talk about how Jordan Love hasn't really looked right for most of the season? Because I don't think he has.
He had his moments, yeah.
We both like Jordan Love in general as a player. But Jordan Love this year has been very much up and down. It's been a lot of down.
Mostly down, but
like,
yes.
In the Price is Right, you see the thing where the hiker is just like moving up the mountain. Jordan Love is a bit like that, but he has been falling a lot in the mountain. Like, the dude just keeps on falling in the mountain. He sometimes moves up, but it's mostly going down in the mountain for Jordan Love right there.
Yeah, it's been rough. Do you think the Packers entertain moving on? Future where the Packers draft or no?
I think that would be a bit too soon. Maybe after, because the thing is, in this whole process of getting like a young QB, the first thing that you usually do is get a weapon. And I don't think they have gone into that path yet. They've drafted a lot of rookies. They've given them a lot of weapons through the draft, but they haven't signed the key marquee name. It's a bit like the Patriots. But the Patriots are so behind in all of that process that they still have a lot of time to do it, while the Packers haven't really done it so far. And now they're paying a massive money because most of the rookie contract was spent behind Aaron Jones, Aaron Rodgers. So all of that together means that I don't think you've gave this guy a fair shot yet. Like, he has been working with a lot of revolving door here. Now Christian Watson, questionable again. Deontay Wicks, questionable yet again. Like, no Tucker Kraft. Jaden Reed has been out for most of the season. So the guys that he has to work with are very fluid at this point. So because of that, I don't think he has been given a fair shake yet. So I don't think he's getting replaced. But for the sake of the Packers, I think something needs to change here, because now you're staring at a division with the Lions, still looking great. A division with the Bears, on the up and up. A division with the Vikings, always have a great coaching staff. The kid is developing at QB, and all of a sudden you look at the Packers, and are they maybe not the worst team in the division, but the least interesting team in the division?
Are you still on about your Eagles hate?
I'm talking about the Packers.
Oh, my bad. Saying, I thought you were on the Eagles. I just,
No.
You keep dangling the fruit in front of me and about the Eagles, and I'm just like...
No. I was saying, as the Packers, like, they haven't been given a fair shake to Jordan Love, because he hasn't had that massive weapon. And I'm sitting in a position in which...
So do you think they haven't given Jordan Love a fair shake because of the wide receiver?
I think you can't really judge him or say that we need to pull the plug and move off of him until you've given him that massive piece that he's been missing. Because so far it looks like...
It's Devontae. You probably... Oh, no, you did just say this is Devontae Adams.
Yeah, the player like that, you can make a move to get a receiver, a veteran, maybe an A.J. Brown, something along those lines. Because he's been working with Christian Watson, Devontae Wicks, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, and all of those guys have missed time. His most reliable weapon so far has been either Josh Jacobs, which is a running back again, or Tucker Kraft, and now Tucker Kraft. So it's a weird situation for him in which he elevated his team a lot. And I think you need to give him a true wide receiver one to see what you truly have on this guy. Now all of a sudden, you have the Lions, who are the cream of the crop in this division. But now you have a Bears who are on the up and up. You have the Vikings, who are always well coached. The defense is solid for most of the season. They have a young QB. They're developing. They have the best wide receiver in the league, maybe, or a top three, whatever you want to say. So all of a sudden, it looks like the Packers are the least interesting team in the division.
Yeah. No, I think you're right with that. Because the Bears, you're right, the Bears are on the up and up. The Lions have been consistently good. And the Vikings, honestly, I think the Vikings are the least interesting team in the division. I think
the Vikings, they have Justin Jefferson. They have a good defense. And we'll always be able to make the case that if things aren't working out great for J.J. McCarthy, you can make the case that he's young. You can make the case that he can acquire a veteran QB that is basically plug in and start for them. Because right. The offensive pieces are just so great. Addison, Jefferson, Hawkerson. Things are just so great in those weapons. And the coaching is so amazing that it just becomes like an easy fix for them, unlike the Packers.
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay, so let's go on the Eagles then. What do you have planned for us here?
All right, Alex, you get to play Eagles or, and we're going to see how far. For the record, before I did this list, I would have the Eagles through the entire list. Okay.
You think they're better than all of these teams?
I think they're better than all of these teams, yes.
I hope you go to the fair. Like, if the list isn't Carolina, Saints, Cleveland Browns, and the Jags and the Giants, I don't know if you're right on that one.
Okay, well, I think I know where you're going here. Level one, are the Eagles better than the Dallas Cowboys? I gave you a gimme.
Well, they have beaten them. And they have a defense. So on that alone, they have a small edge. Unfortunately, they do not have an offense, which the Cowboys have in bunches. But all of that said, if you put them at to have, here's how I judge them. Because the Eagles are a team that will play shit football for four quarters, and they'll get a result in the end. It's usually a win because of some weird shenanigans from a 400-pound guy returning a blocked field goal for a touchdown to... I don't know, God intervening and putting the ball in the end zone for some shit.
God intervening.
But if they do play 10 times versus the Cowboys, I think they beat them 7 times out of the 10. Mm-hmm. So I would say maybe the Eagles are a better team than the Cowboys.
Maybe the Eagles? This is the least...
I'm at like 65 to 70% sure they're a better team than the Cowboys.
We'll take it. Level 2. Let's see how far. I think level 3 is where the list ends.
I think you put up too much faith in this list, because first level, I'm already second guessing myself. So,
are the Eagles better than the Carolina Panthers?
Okay, that's easier than the Cowboys, because the Panthers are a team that... But it's like, have they really? Like, on paper, sure. But they are a team in which, whenever I was thinking about that the other day, and I was looking at it, and the NFC South has just been a nightmare to me. It started with the Falcons, and I was actually 1-5 picking the Falcons in the last 6, because whenever I think they're going to do good, they fuck it up. Whenever I think they're going to fuck it up, they do great. And whatever I think they have an actual shot, and it's not going to be a great game, it's just going to be a competitive game, they're going to fuck it up right in the end. Just like in this game in Germany, where everything was lined up for me to cover my number, the bet that I took against you, and they mess it all up in the end, and there goes that. So, the South has been very weird to me. And I think the Panthers, if you put them versus the Eagles, in 10 games, I don't know if they beat them twice. So again, I think I would say 90% sure they're worse than the Eagles.
Here's where I think the list ends.
I was expecting you to go very bold, but I can see why you want this to go on for you. Because if you started like the Bucks or something like that, the game would be over fairly quick. Hey, hit it with the next one.
Here's where I think the list ends. Are the Philadelphia Eagles better than the Chicago Bears?
That's the closest one so far. Because Caleb is very good when he's making a comeback. But Caleb's numbers are also very poor when he gets pressured. So again, the Eagles being a team that only plays defense, they have an edge there. Their offense is sort of offense. But the thing is, the Bears' defense is maybe Pee Wee football type of defense. Like, little kids would maybe score on them at this point. They're just so bad that I don't see how it gets any better. With all of that said, this is the one in which I think if they play 10 times again, there I go. I think the Eagles win 5-6 of those times. So I'm around 50% sure the Eagles are a better team. And since I'm leaning between 50 to 60, I'll say the Eagles are a better team than the Bears. It's just so slightly. And it should be a testament to how bad the Eagles are, in which last year the Eagles were Super Bowl champs. The Bears were picking top 10 in the draft. And now they're neck and neck. So kudos to you, best team in the league, Philadelphia Eagles. You've made the Bears look like they could be Super Bowl champions, if this is the standard. Well, hey, another level to you, Angelo.
This is farther than I was expecting. Well, I wasn't expecting to get this far.
Well, you didn't even have a fourth level available.
I do have
a fourth level. Is that what I'm sensing?
I do have a fourth level. Are the Eagles better than the LA Chargers?
No. They're not a better team than the Chargers. Because the Chargers have a defense, the Chargers have a run game, and the Chargers have a QB that throws the football. So they are better in all of the units. And maybe the Philadelphia Eagles defense is better than the Chargers, but it's close. It's closer than people want to admit. And the Chargers can just milk the clock when they have a lead. You just saw it versus Steelers. They got a lead very soon. They managed to hold on to that lead, and they played a very Steelers-like football game in the sense in which no mistakes, no turnovers. They just got in the front of it and pressed against the football down their throat, throw it when necessary, get the first downs, move it on. And I believe that's a very solid game plan, and I believe the Chargers team is very good, in fact. So if they do play the Eagles, I think they beat them 6 to 7 times. So this is where the game ends. The Chargers are a better football team than the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay, level 5 was the Patriots.
Oh, the Patriots are a much better team than the Eagles. The Patriots would blow out the Eagles.
If you say so, buddy. Is it time to make the picks now that I'm in a better
mood? It would be time to make the picks, yeah.
Teased me with Joe Burrow. Talked about, Trevor Lawrence and...
Yeah, it is what it is. So for last week, we both went, we got 7 wins each. And that looks to be 7-7, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, 7-7 was the final score for last week. For the Minerals, I was an unremarkable 0-3. You were 2-1. You missed your silver pick. That puts the overall record to 2-7 for the gold, 5-4 for you for the gold. For me in silver, 3-6. For you in the silver, 7-3. And for me on bronze, 4-5. And for you, 3-6. So, time is running out for me to catch up on the Minerals. Okay, and time is also running out for me to catch you in the actual pool, but I'm only 5 games behind you so far. From where I can see, you have 73 points in the app, but it's missing a Thursday night football game that you didn't pick. So, that you didn't pick in the app, but you got the win, right? You sent it to me in the chat. So I'm counting that one. So you're up 5 games on me this season so far. I was under 500. You are 73-76. And I am 69-80. So, those are the numbers. That is a recap. And let's move on to week 11. And it starts with the New York Jets at the New England Patriots. Patriots are 10.5-point favorites in Foxborough games starting in about 2 hours, maybe. So you'll have enough time to listen to this before the game. If you put it in like 1.5 or so, it should work out just in time. So Jets, Patriots, the underdog in a divisional game playing on Thursday Night Football, has always covered this season. Funny enough, I know it's the Jets, and the only thing that they know how to do is run the football. And the Patriots are great at stopping that. And because of that, I've heard a lot about the trend of the Thursday night football, all those things. I've heard that ad nauseum this week. I'm just going to go inverse of it. I'm going to go with the Patriots minus 10.5 because there's one thing that they are great at is running the football. And when the Jets can't run the football, I don't know what the Jets are. Because the QB throws for 50 yards a game. Like, if he's asked to throw anymore, he's going to throw like 5 picks and 4 fumbles. So I expect this to be a rout. I think they win this game 20-3.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I wanted to be edgy. I wanted to pick the Jets, but like the Jets got 27 on the Browns. Two of those touchdowns were special teams.
Yes.
They realistically
the Patriots are a better coached team than the
Well, not only that, like you don't expect to get two special teams touchdowns every game. Regardless, yeah. I'm with you on that. The Patriots. Oh god, this next one. The next one is the 3-7 Washington Commanders are going to Miami. This is in Germany.
No, this is Madrid.
Going to Spain. Espanol.
It's the last international game.
Espanol, okay. They're going to Spain to face the Miami Dolphins, who are favored 2.5 points. Yeah, I think the last game was an anomaly. I'm going with the Commanders in this game. Even without Jaden Daniels, I still think the Commanders team is better than the Dolphins team.
I think so as well. I was very on the fence on this one. Because while I do believe that's true, they are a better team. This Dolphins team is just weird to me. It just feels like whenever you're down on them, they'll play great. And then they'll just disappoint you the next week. So I expect them to be up and down again. And I expected the Commanders to look somewhat decent. But the Commanders' defense versus the Lions was an absolute shit show. It was one of the worst defensive performances we've seen. So I was kind of on the fence for this. I'm gonna end up going with Washington +2.5, but I really don't like this game. I'm not gonna lie to you. After that, Carolina Panthers at the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons are 3.5 point favorites, and I've decided to go with a new strategy here. It's whenever I'm picking a Falcons game, I'm gonna make the pick, and then I'm gonna do the inverse of what I was thinking. Because I always get them wrong. So I initially looked at this and I said, it's the Carolina Panthers all the way. So with that said, Atlanta Falcons -3.5.
So I'm going to do the inverse and I'm going to go with the Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
There's no way around karma, good friend. There's no way around karma. Karma does not appreciate loopholes. Okay? Next one, Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Buffalo Bills in November. Buffalo is favored by 5.5 points. I am inclined with Buffalo on this one. It's a warm weather team going into a cold weather team. B, Buffalo is more incentivized to really lay it on thick. But 5.5 is really what's giving me the pause because I don't think I've seen Tampa Bay get like destroyed like that. They're usually hanging in those games. I'm still going to go with the motivation. I'm still going to go with the story. I'm going to go with Buffalo.
Another interesting game for me here because you could go with two things. You could go with the fact that the Buffalo Bills just got punched in the mouth. They really couldn't back out from it. They couldn't really do anything about it. So now they're going to go here. They're back at Rolf Stadium. They're back at the Rolf. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going there. You could see a sort of a spot in which they're going to make the bounce back. They're going to play for the coach. They're going to do all of those things. But the Buccaneers are also a very physical team, it feels like. They're a team that likes to get punched in the mouth with Baker Mayfield. He likes to get back in there. Bucky Irving could be back this week. He is back practicing, if I'm not mistaken. So they're slowly but surely getting back healthy. And I think the one thing that they do great at is run the football, the Buccaneers, and that's the one thing that Buffalo really struggled this season. And just versus A-Chain again, A-Chain just ran all over them. I think it's going to be a close game because of that. I think Buffalo wins it, but 5.5 points, I'm going to go with Tampa Bay. Plus 5.5. Okay. After that, I have the Los Angeles Chargers at the Jacksonville Jags. The Jags are 2.5 point underdogs. I don't know how the Chargers are just 2.5 point favorites. I'm going to take them. I'm going to run with it. It's probably my best pick of the week. It's it was. One team is great at playing football, will play good football, and will finish games, will run games to the ground. And the other one is the Jag. So I'll pick the Chargers. Thank you very much.
So you're going to take the Jaguars? Is that what you're saying?
No. The other one is the Jags. Okay. I'll take the Chargers. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I heard. I take the Jags at the end. I was like, "What? You changed?" Okay. This is hard.
It's not. It's actually not. Do not overthink this.
Chargers are banged up. I'm going to go with the Chargers. I was thinking, can I give myself a reason? Can I latch onto some? I can't. You're right. That's the Chargers. Next one is the Chicago Bears at the Minnesota Viking. The Minnesota Viking are favored by 3.5 points. I think this is an interesting game. I think I'm going to take the points. I think I'm going to go with Chicago.
I think I'm right there with you. Mostly because, again, Caleb has that comeback sort of kink in which he loves to play poorly or not so great for like 2.5 quarters, and then he makes the comeback. And when he makes those comebacks, I just need him not to be up for most of that game, like the first game versus the Minnesota Vikings. I need him to be down for a lot of that game, and then I'm confident that Caleb can make the comeback. And even if he's short by like 2 points or so, this is 3.5 points. This is over a field goal, so I'm perfectly fine with it. I think they're going to cover this number. I think they're going to win this game, most likely. So, Chicago Bears, +3.5. The one thing that concerns me, cornerback matchup. Like, Minnesota has been playing great defense on those corners versus the wide receivers. DJ Moore might be out, so Luther Burden will step up this week. Rome has been good, but he has also been inconsistent about this offense. I don't believe they will be able to run the ball all that much. So it muddies the waters a little bit, but I think it's going to be fine, and I think Caleb is going to pull this through. So okay, after that, Green Bay Packers at the New York Giants. Giants are 7.5 point underdogs with Jameis Winston. Packers play to their competition. The Giants playing with Jameis. Jameis will throw it up for whoever can catch it. I think 7.5 is too much. If it was 4, maybe you could get me to buy in on the Packers. But at 7.5, give me the Giants. Giants plus 7.5. I have a touchdown to spare.
I don't know how much I trust them. I think I'm going to go with the emotion narrative. Like, that's a very, like, gut-wrenching emotional loss. I do think you might have the smarter line, but I am going to go with the Packers here. 7.5. I just think there's a bigger incentive for the Packers to come out and swing him. Oh, God, I got to do this one. The Cincinnati Bengals against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers are at home and favored by 5.5 points. Funny enough, I think I am going to go with the Bengals here. The Steelers' defense is not as good as it's paid to be. And 1-2, throw it to Joe Flacco, or throw it to Jamar Chase seems to be a pretty effective strategy. So, yeah, I think they cover here. Give me the Bengals.
Yeah, off of a bye as well. I'm not sure if you guys win this game, but at 5.5 points, I like you to at least cover the number. The Pittsburgh Steelers defense, as you said, hasn't looked great for most of the season. Even in the game versus you guys a couple weeks ago, they looked completely lost. They really couldn't stop Jamar Chase at all. I don't think much changes there. Maybe since it's in Pittsburgh, they could pull out a win. I wouldn't be surprised. But the Bengals are in win now mode. It's you got to get all the wins that you can, and this is one of those winnable games that they have. So they'll have to push for it if they want to use Joe Burrow this year before they trade them next year to the Jets.
Oh my God.
I like you guys by 5.5, yeah. Okay, next up, the Houston Texans at the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, what do you do with this one?
The Texans are 7.5-point favorites. They will play with Davis Mills. If this game was 14, maybe I'll think about it. 7.5, they're playing versus a team that is cartoonishly bad with Mike McCoy coaching them. It's impossible, man. Like, Mike McCoy is the type of guy that he will be losing by 15, and he will kick a field goal. Like, 15 with 2 minutes to go, and he will kick a field goal. So that's the sort of coach that you have right now in Tennessee, and that coach is great for me to cover a big number. So I'll take Houston minus 7.5.
I actually think Tennessee is going to cover this, and I am taking Tennessee.
You are so wrong on this one. I think they lose by at least 14.
No, I don't think it is. I think that Davis Mills, I said this actually during the prediction, the first backup quarterback game was that Davis Mills game, and I should have kept with my logic and picked that, but that game's over. I do think Davis Mills comes back to being Davis Mills, and we see a Titans cover here.
The thing is, Davis Mills is still better than current Kemp Ward. So.
Oh my God. I'm going to let that one slide. The 49ers head to Arizona. The 49ers are also favored by 3.5 points. Arizona is one of the least predictable teams out there. Like, I don't know what to do with this. I feel like Arizona is my Atlanta Falcons for you. When I think I have them pegged, they come and mess it up. And you know what? You stand on business. You pick the 49ers and you move on with your life.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with San Francisco as well. Brock Purdy's back this week, apparently. They're starting to get healthy bit by bit. Juwan Jennings, Kittle, all of them playing. The defense is still an issue for them, but with Brock Purdy, I think they might be able to pull a few plays that they otherwise could not. The Mac Jones experience has been fun. I love Mac Jones. I think he's a great player that just needs a good chance. But I think Brock Purdy comes in and he gives a boost to this team as the leader of the team, and I think things start to turn the chip, and I mean, just the Cardinals in general are just a highly volatile team, and I don't expect them to be any good. And plus, there's a rumor that Jacoby Brissett might not play this week, and if he doesn't play, you're looking at the third string QB.
That's an easy
so cover. Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Niners because of that. After that, I think it's simply as we're standing on business. This is our biggest test so far. It's the Seahawks at the Rams. Rams are 2.5-point favorites. This is our biggest test. We need to beat the Rams to prove that we are truly here to stay. And I think we will. I think it's time to beat the Rams. It's time to shush all of the Matthew Stafford MVP narratives and we just need to go in there. We need to go to LA and just beat the hell out of the Rams. So Seahawks plus 2.5.
I also am going to stand on business and take the LA Rams. So, yeah, so funny enough, how long ago was this? Was this 2 years ago I did this where I said you never bet against a Rams team that has Sean McVay and a healthy Matthew Stafford? And yeah, they got both. So you go with the Rams here. Next up, we got the Baltimore Ravens going to Cleveland to play the Browns. The Ravens are 8.5-point favorites, and I'm actually going to check my weather app to see what the temperature is going to be looking like on Sunday. Sunday, high of 45, low of 30. That's actually not terrible weather. Give me the Ravens. If it was bad weather, I would have taken the points, but
no rain, no snow, no nothing.
No, actually, no. It's just going to be cloudy.
Okay, then I'll take Lamar Jackson over to Dylan Gabriel.
It is going to be raining Saturday, but
I just need the Ravens to stop being cute about Derrick Henry and not give the ball to Justice Hill when you're at the goal line. Like, my guy, you have a guy that has a nickname of a Yeti. Maybe use him as such.
Maybe
I'll still take the 8.5 because the Ravens are looking to be on the up and up. The defense is getting better. Lamar Jackson is looking better and better each day that passes. I think things get into a gear here. They beat the Cleveland Browns. Yeah, and they put the pressure up on the Steelers. Okay, next up, Kansas City Chiefs at the Denver Broncos. The Chiefs are 3.5-point favorites away to the Denver Broncos. The Broncos just came off of a very uninspiring win versus the Las Vegas Raiders. They won, how much was it? 7-10, exactly. With Bo Nix looks completely on. He just looks like the most volatile QB in the NFL, in which, like, for three quarters, he will look like absolute dog shit. And for one quarter, it looks like he's great. So, with the Chiefs, I don't think that sticks. With the Raiders, maybe. But with the Chiefs, I think you're in trouble. The Chiefs defense is better. They come off of a bye. Andy Reid off a bye just looks great to me. Sounds great to me. J.K. Dobbins hurt for the Denver Broncos. Probably not playing this week. R.J. Harvey I like, but he's a younger player. Not as good right now as J.K. Dobbins probably for the system that they're trying to run over there. So yeah, just give me KC -3.5.
You sold me on the off the bye. I forgot they were coming off the bye. And yeah, I'm not betting against KC off a bye. Okay. No need to go into deeper on this.
I don't need to go into detail on this. Detroit
Lions at Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles favored by 1.5. Give me the Eagles.
Easy Detroit. Detroit is winning. They might actually need to throw the football, the Eagles here. So, AJ Brown is getting some plays. One would hope, unless they're throwing it to Jahan Dotson to just further piss off their superstar wide receiver. Maybe trade him away and pick up Treylon Burks, because that would be great for the Titans.
Oh, no, buddy.
Okay. To round it up, Dallas Cowboys at the Las Vegas Raiders. Raiders are 3.5-point underdogs. Cowboys off a bye, playing for Marshawn Nealand. RIP. I think they just beat the brakes off of the Las Vegas Raiders. I think it's a Javonte Williams game all over them. CeeDee Lamb plays great. George Pickens, all of them are playing to a high gear. And the Las Vegas Raiders offense, just even versus the Cowboys, I don't think they can move the football all that well. So I'll go with the Cowboys -3.5. You there?
I'm here now. Yeah, what's up?
Oh, okay. I said I'm gonna go with the Cowboys because of the Marshawn Kneeland incident in which he passed away. Rest in peace. Because their offense is just playing in a different gear. And even versus their defense, I don't think Las Vegas can move the football all that well. So I'm going to go with Dallas Cowboys, -3.5.
The Raiders are just Bijan or bust. Gentier bust. Yeah, give me Dallas. I just don't like Las Vegas. They're so boring. They're so uninspired. Like, this is what the Seahawks should be.
They're not. The Seahawks are great.
So, but give me the Cowboys. I agree with all that. It's just
okay.
Raiders are
so sad. That's that. Give Raiders me your minerals.
The saddest team in the NFL. I'm not gonna lie. Like, the Dolphins are pathetic. The Ravens. You think the Titans don't exist? I think being a Raiders fan is the saddest right now.
They at least have Brock Bowers and they have Janty. I don't know what a Titans fan has. Mike McCoy.
I guess that's fair. I'll give you that one. Gold is going to be Buffalo beating Tampa Bay.
You have Buffalo. Line is 5.5. Silver is. Yep.
I'm just going to go with the motivations. Green Bay beating New York.
Green Bay -7.5.
And the bronze is the Titans covering against the Texans.
And the Tennessee Titans +7.5. Okay, my gold is the Chargers, -2.5. My silver is the Houston Texans, -7.5.
Oh, buddy.
And my bronze is gonna be...
It's one of two. You're either about to hate on the Eagles or love on the Seahawks, and I'm not sure which.
Yeah, I have Seahawks in there initially, but I think you need to keep the heart out of it. Know it's a tough game, and just go with the Detroit Lions.
Oh, no. The Eagles hate continues and
lives on. And I believe that's the show, buddy. Anything else you want to add?
There's nothing. Your hate for the Eagles is impressive, buddy. I'll give you credit though. You did get to level 4. That is higher than I thought. I did have like
you underestimated me.
I did. I thought there was higher than 10% chance that you would have just ended it in the first one with the Cowboys. I'm not gonna lie. But
yeah. I think it would be a perfect sort of ladder game because it would start from the Panthers, which is a clear layup. And the Cowboys, which some doubts, Bears even more doubts, and then the Chargers clears it. So that would have been like my order, but I mean, I think you were right there in the nose. All three teams made me think, and the third one was the most difficult one, and then the fourth was an easy layup because they're just a tier above. So, but okay, let's get out of here. To get in time to drop the show before the game. We're ending up this recording at right around 45 minutes. Right around, 45 minutes. Oh, wait, am I tripping?
I think you are. I think it's close to an hour.
Yeah, it's close to an hour. Okay, so we're about an hour and 30. Yeah, that's what I want to say. We're about an hour and 30 from the game. So still enough time to listen to this. Hope you guys enjoyed. If you're listening on the Apple Podcasts app, on the Spotify app, just make sure to turn on the auto downloads. Subscribe to the show. Leave us a 5-star review as well. That really helps out. And as always, guys, talk to you next week.
Peace out. When I hopefully back against Alex. Granted, me being down is me beating Alex still. What's new? Good day, guys.